I should be turning with me tonight to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 1 in just a few moments. A while back, there was a news story you may have heard about, you may have read about. I believe it was a couple of years ago. But the news told a story of a young boy at his birthday party. He was at a national park with his family and friends. And they were there, they were all there to celebrate this young boy turning 10 years old. The party started well, but at about 2 p.m., this party had an interesting turn of events. While, talking to his younger cousin, a mountain lion walked up behind him, and he heard his grandmother yell, "Be still." So the boy stood still. The mountain lion walked right up behind him, and yet the boy continued to stand still. Then the lion started to scratch his back, and the boy remained motionless. The lion put his paws on the boy's shoulders to size him up, and yet the boy didn't move. The lion opened its mouth and placed his teeth on the young boy's head, and yet the words of his grandmother echoed in his head, and he did not move. And finally, the boy's uncle had grabbed a gun and was able to get a clean shot off. The mountain lion died, and the boy, while scratched up, lived. Probably because he obeyed the commands of his grandmother when she said, "Be still." Friends, some commands are easy to follow. And yet I don't know that I could have remained still while a mountain lion had me in his jaws. But I want you to think about that for just a moment. There are all sorts of reasons that people do not obey commands. Sometimes it's because they just don't want to. Sometimes it's because they don't really see the point of obeying this particular command. Sometimes it's because they don't like to be told what to do. With that in mind, I want you to look with me at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Friends, I want you to consider what's taking place here. Beginning there in verse 4, you see Jesus' command to Peter to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But friends, here is God in the flesh, here is Jesus Christ, and he gives us command. He tells us what we need to do throughout this gospel, throughout the letters to the churches and the book of Acts, this book of conversions. We see all of these different things and how they pertain to us and how we are to conduct our lives. We've talked about the last two Sundays, Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes, and how these are doctrines. These are how we are to conduct ourselves so that we might have eternal life. God gives us these commands. And as our master, he has that right. Peter recognized that in Jesus, didn't he? Peter recognized who Jesus was. He realized that this was the Messiah, that this was indeed his master. In Romans chapter 6, Paul leaves no doubt about God being our master. It's in that chapter that Paul describes that those that are baptized for the remission of sins submit themselves as slaves, as servants unto God. And as such, God becomes their master. There was a law in the law of Moses. that a servant that had served his time under a master, and the master had been good to him, and if he didn't want to go out and have to fend for himself, find a job or go and buy land or whatever, he could ask his master or tell his master, I want to stay with you. And so he would bring him to the doorpost. Now, whether that was his own personal doorpost or if he had to do it before, I'm sure it had to be before witnesses, but whether that was at his house or before the elders of the city, I don't know. But in any case, he would be taken to the doorpost and his ear would be pierced with an awl. And that was to signify that this man would remain his servant for the rest of his life. And so we sing the song sometimes. We don't often sing it in worship, but I know a lot of times at camp and devotional periods with young people, we sing the song, Pierce My Ear, O Lord My God. We're declaring in that case, when we sing that song, that God is our master, and we will never leave Him. Peter recognized that. In Christ. After Jesus offers his command in verse 4, you have Peter's response in verse 5. You see a little bit of confusion here. But they had already fished all night. Now, I imagine that this is at some point in the morning when Jesus has gone out and he's cast out and he has delivered his sermon to the multitudes. Because they had fished, Peter says, all night. They were already out of the boats and cleaning their nets. And so we're probably looking somewhere around the third hour of the morning, about 9 o'clock. Peter's probably, at the time that Jesus, he's ready probably to go home and get in bed. He's had a long night already. Jesus offers this or gives this command in verse 4, verse 5, and at the beginning of that, Simon answered and said to him, Master, there's Peter's recognition, number one. Number two, he's a little confused. He knows that Jesus knows what he's been doing all night. We have toiled, he says, all night and caught nothing. Now you think about the weariness that must have been in Peter's voice at this point. Been there all night, right? Been fishing all night. And I don't know if you've ever studied what type of fishing that they did. Obviously, they were commercial fishermen, and so it was more than just going out with a bunch of rods and reels and hanging them over the boat. They did this with a net, which is obvious from this particular passage. But, you know, we see some of these commercial fishing boats today, and they've got these mechanical nets and such, and which they would have had pulleys and such in that day, but They had to go about it differently in casting these nets. It was more than just letting them down, pulling along behind, and then pulling them up. You remember when, after Jesus had died, he was buried, he was resurrected, what had Peter and James and John gone back to do? They'd gone back to fishing. And you remember as Jesus approached and Peter recognized that it was Jesus, what did Peter have to do? He had to clothe himself. Have you ever wondered about that? Why was Peter naked? Why was he wearing at most a loincloth when Jesus was approaching at this point? If you go and study this, friends, what reason that Peter says we have toiled all night is more than just letting down a net and then cranking it back in. Peter would dive out with the end of the net. And he would go and he would swim and he'd go out a long ways, he'd swim down deep, he'd come back and pull that net back to the boat, and then they would do whatever they had to do with the pulley system, and then they'd reel it back in. Peter had been swimming all night and then worrying about pulling a net in that didn't have any fish in it. This man was bone tired, and so there's no wonder that he's confused. Jesus, you know that we've been doing this all night. We've just cleaned our nets. I really don't want to get them dirty again. But because you are who you are, because I do consider you my master, at your word, because you said for me to, we'll let them down one more time. He was tired. He's confused. He wants to go home. He wants to go to bed. He'd finish his laborious work day or night. He's ready to rest. He didn't want to go back out and work some more. They had caught nothing. They were unsuccessful, which was probably leading even more to a feeling of frustration, a feeling of wanting to quit. He didn't want to go back. He didn't want to let it down again. They weren't catching anything. I don't know about you, but when I go fishing, I get bored if I'm not catching anything. If I don't catch anything in the first hour or two, I'm ready to pack it up and go home. There's not biting today. Peter was done. He's a fisherman. This was his livelihood. He knew what he was doing, right? But Jesus is a carpenter. And here this carpenter is telling this fisherman, go out and let your nets out again. A little bit of confusion there. But then at the end of verse 5, you see his compliance. Okay, so we had number one, the command from Jesus. Number two, you had confusion on the part of Peter. But then, even though Peter's confused, even though he doesn't really want to go and do this, look at the end of his response, verse 5. He says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Alright, so Peter understood, again, that Jesus is his master. And so he didn't have to understand what Jesus was saying. He didn't have to understand the command. He didn't even have to like the command, did he? All that matters is that he got a command from his master, and so he had to comply with it. But friends, we see other examples of commands that are either hard or confusing. You think about Noah. Genesis chapter 6, he's told to go and build an ark, this great big boat. Because it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Noah had never seen rain. I can imagine that as God had given this command, Noah's first question to God was, what's rain? Lord, what are you talking about? But we don't read about that, do we? Noah simply says, yes, sir, and he gets busy. He starts building a boat to the exact specifications that God told him to build. What about Joshua? God's command to walk around the walls of Jericho. We've talked about this before. Militarily, what kind of sense did it make for them to march around this city for 7 days and on the seventh day walk around it 7 times? Didn't make any sense militarily. Didn't make any kind of sound military strategy. Other than God said, when you do this, the walls are going to fall down. A whole lot easier than knocking them down, wasn't it? Just to obey the words of God. Well, what about Naaman? 2 Kings chapter 5. Elisha has told him all you've got to do is go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. You remember what Naaman said? Behold, I thought. He thought some grand thing needed to be done, that he'd come and make this great show about it. Did it make sense, really? Any kind of sense at all for him to go and wash in some dirty river? His skin is already unclean. Why am I going to go get in some nasty, polluted, unclean river and go and wash myself when I can go back to Damascus and wash in the clean rivers that we have over there? Didn't make sense. But what happened when he complied? His skin became as new. Well, friends, it's easy to follow the commands that we like. It's easy to follow the commands that we understand. God says, don't steal. That's common sense. I don't take something that's not mine. Don't kill. I don't want to take someone else's life. We get those commands. Those are easy. But we're also given commands that might be, at least to some, confusing. The command to be baptized is a command that's confusing to many people. They don't understand. There's nothing special about the water here, is it? It's tap water. What it is. And yet God says, if you're baptized, if you're immersed in that water, according to His commands, believing that Jesus Christ is His Son, that you're willing to repent of your sin, confess Jesus as His Son, as your Lord and your Master, as your King, and you're willing to be immersed in that water, right there, or down there at the Concho River, or in some water hole in somebody's backyard, If you're willing to do that, be immersed in whatever water you can find. He says He'll make you clean. You may not understand it. Some folks may not even like it. But the command is there all the same. As plain as day. So what do? When God gives us these commands, what do? When God says to you, let down your net or catch? Do we respond like Peter, but then leave it at I've toiled all night, I haven't caught anything, so I'm going home? Or do we end like Peter and say, at your word, I'll do it, even though I don't understand it, even though I might not like it? I'll do it. I'll comply. Friends, here we have Peter given a command by his master. It was a command that was difficult for Peter. Remember, he'd been doing this all night already. His muscles are sore. He's tired. No doubt he's just ready to go home and go to sleep. He was confused. Jesus knew that he'd been out all night fishing, that he hadn't caught anything. But he complied with it anyway, and he was rewarded greatly to the point that his nets began to break. And I find this interesting as we look at this. Verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, now remember, their net is so full that it's breaking, and they loaded the boats to the point that they began to sink. Alright, the boats had so much weight on them that the water had risen that maybe they're starting to come over the sides. And so, no doubt, they're ready to get back to land. Look at this at the end of verse 11. When they brought their boats back to land, they forsook all. They just filled them up with fish. And they left them there. What did they realize? Those fish weren't so important anymore. They forsook everything. Another account concerning James and John, they left their dad on the boat to go and follow Jesus. Friends, just like Peter, in this instance, we are given commands by our master that can sometimes be difficult or confusing. What do we do about it? What do we do about it? Are we going to be like Noah? Will we be like Joshua? Will we be like Peter? Just simply, and we'll end with this question. Are you willing to cast your net at the command of God? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. One of the most quoted verses in all the Bible is John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, the word believeth in that particular verse implies obedience. It has to do with the word faith, which implies obedience. Jesus gives the command in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. If you're here tonight having never obeyed that command, Jesus, like He did to Peter, He's telling you to cast your net. Give yourself wholly over to Him. Obey His commands. And friends, your reward is going to be more than fish. It will be eternal life. So if you're here tonight needing to obey the gospel, there's no better time than the present. You're not promised tomorrow. It may be that you're here, friend, and you've obeyed the gospel, but you haven't remained faithful. You're no longer casting your net when Jesus says to do so. Would you obey His commands again? Would you be restored? Friend, if you have a need, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come and we'll stand while we sing.